You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Happy New Year 2018. I spent New Year's Eve at a cheesecake factory with my husband and four children. So yeah, it was a real rager. I'm sure that your plans were far more exciting. And for those of you who are stuck in the blizzard on the East Coast, I send my condolences. This is why I moved, because I spent my childhood shoveling snow in my driveway. In fact, I just remembered that my mom got really angry at me one time, and we lived on top of a hill and on a cul-de-sac. I mean, a steep hill. And she got so angry with me one time, she handed me a pizza pan, you know, one that you have at home, the round pizza pan. And she said, use this to shovel. And I believe there was at least 3 feet of snow on the ground. So I understand your pain. And then when I was in boarding school, my house father thought it would be clever to pour scalding hot water on the driveway because that would get rid of the snow, not realizing that creates ice. Yeah, he was a real genius. So I feel your pain. I'm hoping that you're keeping bundled and watching some good TV shows. I've been watching some good TV shows. First, I want to talk about this week's episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey, which this season's been kind of a snooze fest. But I was fascinated this week because Danielle Staub's daughter, Jillian, who's now 19, wanted to confront Teresa about the episode 10 years ago where she referred to her own mother as a prostitution whore and then flipped a table over. Jillian is 19. Her older sister, Christine, is 23. Christine did not appear on camera. Danielle expressed how upset both children have been, but Christine was not ready to confront Teresa. Now, first of all, I want to say the balls of a 19-year-old to go on national television and to confront an older woman is pretty ballsy. So that's the first thing out of the gate. I wanted to say that. Number two, props to Teresa for actually going to Danielle's house and talking to her daughter, because I can safely say a couple years ago that would have never happened. She probably would have blown the whole thing off. So that's great. Maybe jail, you know, brought on some self-reflection. Or maybe the yoga has. Maybe you can't be an effective yoga teacher if you've called somebody a prostitution whore and a flipped a table. It's a good question. So anyway, they had a moment. It was a very short apology. She seemed to feel terrible about it now that her youngest daughter is 7 and Jillian at the time was 9. But the third part about that's a mystery to me is I would hope that Danielle also spoke to her children about all of the things that she did in life that preceded that moment on television, because surely they're probably embarrassed about the book that came out that talked about all of the things that she did in her life. I'm assuming she probably has. This was the last layer of the process to talk to Teresa, but it brought about an important point, and it's this. The children that appear on these television shows, there has to be some sort of, you know, emotional issues that come with seeing yourself on television and watching yourself grow up on television. Let me tell you, when I was 9 years old, I was not an attractive child. It would have been terrible to have seen my acne face on television and then to have my nutty parents on. I mean, not that I talked to my dad then, because we all know that he was not around, but I'm just thinking of like the conversations that my parents would have had with their friends, and for me to be in the peripheral would be mortifying. So it was interesting how Jillian said, you know, I received messages all the time, even to this day, from people that refer to my mother as a prostitution whore. So she brought about a good point. It's like there are ramifications to me being on television and the things that you say. So I would hope it would be a wake up call to the other women that appear on The Real Housewives. Like maybe I should be more careful about the things I say about someone, especially in the presence of a child. So that was interesting. But I also, again, it was also interesting to see the evolution of somebody who's been on television, because Teresa Giudice 10 years ago did not look like the woman that was on television in that episode. She seemed to have some sort of perspective, and that's great. And that's why I love doing the show, if I can connect with people who have been on TV and who have had a couple years away from a show to have some clarity, because, you know, it was just so interesting to have that conversation 10 years later. And then I watched an episode of Floribama Shore, and I'm hoping that you watch this episode too. It's the episode where they made Amy, the girl from the Styx, the one with the blonde hair, feel like a princess for the day. So she has battled insecurity issues. She had a terrible ex-boyfriend. So they took her out and she got a manicure and she got her hair done and she got eyelashes put on. And they took her out for dinner later. And by the way, it was pretty funny because they got her a corsage, which makes absolutely no sense, because the only people who wear corsages are people who go to a junior prom and probably 20 years ago. So they gave her a corsage to wear at dinner, which is super creepy. And she kept referring to it, I shit you not, as a croissant. I'm so touched by this croissant they gave me. That's what we're dealing with on Floribama Shore. So what happened was, Nilsa, who's the girl with the incredibly large fake breasts, she invites her friends over to the show. She's from Panama City Beach, so these girls are locals and they come over. And she's very proud to tell you that her friends are very hot. That's some sort of badge of honor, I guess, when you're 22, is like, I roll with really pretty girls. I guess it's the kind of people on Instagram that use that obnoxious hashtag, you can't sit with us, which if I ever see somebody write that, I'm like, I will never speak to you. Anyway, she lets her friend come and visit, and the friend is very attractive. She has what seems to be enormous breasts and a very bulbous rear end. She definitely works out. And so the two, you know, cute boys in the house, Jeremiah and Gus, are arguing about her because she's, you know, fresh meat to the house. This girl clearly enjoys the attention. She hangs out with them all day, and then they go to this weird saloon later that night because it's draft beer night. And they're basically, there's like no one at the bar. So Nilsa's friend, this girl, I think her name's Christina or Katrina, something of that sort. She's wearing the shortest shorts I've ever seen in my entire life. It's one of those jean shorts that is so far up your rear end that it's like your labia is basically popping out. So not only is it the fact that these girls wear jean shorts, which is just so strange to me, especially stonewashed jean shorts, but the fact that they wear them so tight, they basically don't even look like underwear. And then she wore this tank top and her breasts are basically falling out of her top. She really obviously enjoys the attention of these two guys. And she is in one scene, Jeremiah is playing pool and she sticks her chest in the corner pocket and shakes her boobs like as if she's taunting him, like, shoot the pool ball into my chest. And then she says to Gus a couple minutes later that when she gets drunk, she's just so horny, like she can't wait to have sex with people. And I was just watching that thinking, listen, you're probably 22. Are you going to look at this? I know you signed the release and you really wanted to be on TV with your friend and you were hoping that you were going to become Instagram famous out of this. Maybe get a couple acting jobs. I'm not sure what else. But I kept thinking, in this moment, you are obviously very drunk. Will you regret that? Will you regret how you were acting? And then later on, she gets so wasted that she overhears a conversation that she assumes that the two guys are having a bet on who can sleep with her first, which they absolutely did not say. And she just falls into a pit of tears. But again, she was acting so strange. I just kept thinking, are you going to regret this in years to come? So if this show is still on in maybe like 2 years, I must ask her, like, do you look back at that and think, why did I wear that outfit? Why was I so drunk? Why did I think those guys were so cute? Like all those things. I mean, this goes beyond just the cast members because they've all done crazy stuff too. But if you're sort of one of the people in the background, how does that impact your life? So if you've watched that episode, please tell me what you think as well. This episode is fantastic. I'm so glad that this is my first episode out of the gate. Pepper Schwartz, Dr. Pepper Schwartz, that is her real name, her legal name. She is a psychologist and she's one of the experts on the show. Married at First Sight. Those of you who have watched 90 Day Fiancé, people burned out by housewives, love 90 Day Fiancé, this is your new show. Married at First Sight is fantastic because it's the social experiment where they take three couples, they set them up, and they have to get married to the person that they meet at the wedding. And then they have to stay married for a couple weeks. At the end of this journey, if you will, they decide whether or not they want to stay married or not. This is a legally binding arrangement. So I wanted to chat with her about what it's like to be an expert on the show. And then she also closes out by giving advice to people who are dating and who are married, which I think are fantastic. And she's written so many articles, white papers. She's a great expert. Stephen McGee is on Summer House. That show is coming back in January too. You remember him because he's got the fantastic one-liners. He's hilarious. He assures me that season two of the show is way better than season one, which is good because it was a little bit of a snoozer at some points. So I'm excited for that. But what I'm most excited about is I made him watch The Bachelor. It was this week's premiere with Ari Lewandek, who is the former race car driver who now sells real estate. And he's got a new batch of crazy women. And there are a couple of them that are real, real crazy. So I want to know what he thought. And then my buddy Clint Graham is piss your pants funny. And turns out, I found this out at the preschool drop-off, that he's obsessed with Vanderpump Rules. He's especially fascinated slash obsessed with Kristen Doty. So Kristen, if you're listening to this, you should know that you have a super fan who lives in Long Beach with two sons who works at Twitter. So you're in luck. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house, but I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're gonna love it. Married at First Sight is one of my most favorite shows to watch on TV. If you're not familiar with it and you're living under a rock, it is based on a hit Danish format, Married, featuring six people who agree to participate in an extreme experiment. Each covenants legal marriage with a complete stranger. So you are matched with somebody, and then upon your first meeting, you are given the opportunity to get married. And the experiment goes on for a couple weeks, and then at the end you decide whether or not you want to stay married. And I am so happy because I'm getting the chance today to talk with Dr. Pepper Schwartz, and she is such an accomplished person. First of all, Pepper, I have to brag about you for a second. She is one of the nation's most prolific writers and authorities on the subject of sexuality and relationships. She wrote the column Sex and Health for Glamour magazine. She's appeared on Oprah Winfrey's show, Dateline, Dr. Phil. She's been on the cable television network Lifetime. She has written several papers. She appears everywhere. And she is such a nice person. So welcome, Pepper.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all those nice words. That's really kind of pleasant to hear someone say nice things about one. So I appreciate it.
So let's get into it. First, tell me how you got involved with the show.
It came out of the blue. I got a phone call saying we're going to be doing a relationship show. We can't tell you what it is. Would you be willing to be interviewed about it and see if you're right for us and vice versa? And I don't take these things seriously. They do happen to me from time to time. So I said, sure, I'll talk to you. And so I had this Skype. And to tell you how seriously I took it, I didn't put on makeup for this night. So, as a woman, putting on makeup, I'm not expecting this to be your best self. But I had a lot of fun talking to the person who interviewed me. It was really fun. And it was wide-ranging discussion. So then I get a call back. We're very interested in you. we want to, and they give me the premise of the show, and I go, huh, what? You mean people are going to meet at the altar? We're going to arrange marriages? And they said, well, before you draw conclusions, take a look at the Danish show upon which this is based. And it's kind of a documentary format. It's not scripted. It's not staged. These are real people who you would have, you know, control in picking with some other experts. Give it a look. So I took a look at it, and I was impressed. I thought these people were being documented in a way that would not just help them, but would help anybody watching them in terms of what it really took to put together a relationship, you know, of commitment and depth. So I said, okay, I will give this a shot. But as you may know, everything from, you know, when you're casting to, you know, every inch along the way with something new, it could end. It could not go ahead. And so, of course, the chances of this not going ahead were really pretty good. And so, again, I didn't invest in it right away. But then we found that the people who were willing to give this experiment a chance were really high-quality people. You know, we weren't sure who would be brave enough or, you know, adventurous enough to do this and still really regard marriage seriously. So at each step where it became much more compelling, I got much more invested. And then we had a season where it just looked so interesting and so good that that it continued. And of course, any show continuing for many seasons is also a surprise. So from beginning to end, it's been kind of a revelation.
So when you are in the beginning process of the show and you're looking at potential candidates, what are you looking for when you're putting together a couple? How difficult is it?
It's very difficult. It's not difficult to find good people. It's difficult to find good couples. That is, people who will fit together. There's many times we've met wonderful people and we couldn't use them because they didn't have the right person to match them with, you know? So it's hard. What we're looking for, I think, has probably changed over time. As you know, the experts have changed over time, except for me. I've been the person who's been there from the beginning. So it's been very flattering and wonderful to be, you know, have this longevity with the show. And to recall, in a sense, what I was looking for those first times versus now is almost impossible because, you know, your memory gets changed in terms of what you recall and what you don't. But what I would say is we've always looked for a first commitment, somebody really interested, really, really wanting to be married for good reasons, you know, and people who could use our help, you know, that they will actually listen to us and do the kinds of exercises and feedback that we give them. And we've been also mainest on that. And that is to say, sometimes we have been right. The person is open and flexible. And other times we've been wrong. That person isn't open and flexible. And that turns out to be a very important variable, which I wish we could have a perfect record on, but we don't. And then I've looked for a good heart, somebody with compassion, somebody who's realistic, someone who doesn't expect Prince or Princess Charming, but rather somebody that they're going to have to trust we see as a viable and compatible person for them. I think we want to find people who have shown the capacity for love. Sometimes we're right on that, sometimes we're not. We're looking for somebody who's honest and honorable. Sometimes we're right about that, sometimes not. Over time, one of the things I've become more and more interested in is somebody who isn't reactive. And by that I mean defensive, quick to anger, will say anything when they're mad. And again, we've been right and wrong about that one as well. But I know what I'm looking for, and I know what I'm hoping to get. We do a lot of in-depth interviewing, as you know. We have thousands of people who volunteer. We have outside psychiatric reports. We go over a lot of their, you know, public record in terms of any criminal activity, et cetera. But nothing is 100% perfect, and we just do our best.
Sometimes I get the impression that some candidates aren't always completely honest with you and from the beginning. For example, when I watched the season that featured Davina and Sean, I always got the sense that maybe Sean had said in the beginning of the process that he was willing to move somewhere else. And then as the process went on, it became clear that he had no intention of leaving the town where he worked. So has that been your experience that, you know, as the process goes on, that you figure out that maybe people were not completely truthful from the beginning?
I think that's true. But I also think it's sometimes it's not just that they weren't honest with us. They really hadn't been honest with themselves.
I see.
You know, that they don't perceive themselves as lying to us because they thought they could. They thought they were X kind of person, and they turned out to be Y kind of person. I mean, one of the things you try and get are people who really have a good sense of who they are and are good at their own reality. I think we learned a lot from that second season, which we tend to refer as the dreaded, awful second season.
Right.
And it was. It was the worst season we've had, in my opinion, just because people acted so badly with one another and didn't follow, you know, the regime that we put out in terms of, you know, the kinds of exercises and things we require them, the kind of time spent together that they've signed up to give. If they don't do those things, we have very little hope of this thing being successful. And really weren't honest with themselves, and some of whom weren't honest with us. I think Sean is the kind of person who, whatever he told us he thought was, I don't think Sean lied in the sense of, I'm going to tell him I'm going to do this, but I would never do it. I don't think he, or for that matter, Ryan, in that season, really knew how tied they were to place, mm-hmm. how tied they were to their own very enclosed world. And also, of course, in Sean and Davina's case, there were, you know, I mean, they weren't even really living together, and they resisted it. He, of course, as he discovered things about her he really and truly didn't like and that were difficult things, that he moved further and further from what he had promised to do. So it was kind of a perfect storm in each one of those couples in different ways that, you know, we have tried to correct since then. And I think we have done a better job since then.
What do you think? Love and marriage is—it's like a mathematical, mathematics equation. And some of these couples have intense physical chemistry at the beginning, and some of them sort of create it as the journey moves on. In your experience, which couples have the most longevity? The couples that are really physically interested in the beginning, or the ones that cultivate that chemistry as the relationship moves forward?
That's a good question, but I actually have to try and answer it a different way, because I actually think that the chemistry, while everybody talks about it, is not sustainable if they don't really like and respect each other. And on the other hand, some people, their main connection to someone is chemical, and if they don't get that right away, they don't really give themselves the opportunity to let it grow. What's best for us is somebody who falls in love with who that person is and is at least slightly attracted to them in the beginning, but becomes more attracted over time because they really, really get into that other person. So in some ways, we have to an uphill battle if they don't have an immediate look at each other that feels good. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it will not be sustained if they don't, you know, open themselves up to learning this person and learning why they're a good person and not having prejudices or, you know, quick assessments that they never get. They never allow to change. Our best couples were were the kind of couples that could fall in love with each other over time and could allow that attraction to either grow even stronger from what it began at or create it because this is the kind of person who they always wanted.
Which couples were the most had the most surprising outcomes for you?
Well, surprising. Sometimes good surprises, sometimes bad surprises.
Right.
Good surprises in the sense of Jamie, who ran the gamut from taking one look at Doug and being depressed to just recently having a baby together and being beyond in love and happy with one another. You know, I mean, look, I don't know their world every day. They're a real marriage, and I don't want to act as if, you know, it's happily ever after for everybody, even people who are 20 years into their marriage, right? Mm-hmm. But they're pretty solid, and they went from the world's rockiest start to, you know, a wonderful, admirable, and loving couple. So, you know, that's a great story. I was surprised in a bad way that Neil and Samantha didn't end up together. I have to say, I thought they were perfect.
You really did? Because I felt like when I was at home, I could tell right away they wouldn't work out.
But in fact, she fell in love with him over time, but she had treated him so badly.
Right, she did.
That by the time she was in love with him, he wasn't open to her anymore because she'd acted so badly. I've said this to couples over and over, and I believe it's true. Be careful in the beginning. You don't know where you're going to end up emotionally here. Don't hurt this thing beyond, you know, rehabilitation just because you're awkward, nervous, not sure, etc. But of course, people are often, you know, less under control or less under they can't get to the larger vision in the beginning. They're just freaked that this isn't exactly the person they expected. So, you know, maybe call me wrong, but I thought that was going to work. And there's been other couples too, you know, where I felt, you know, this could have been good. And I was surprised that it wasn't. And, you know, I'm generally not surprised when it does work out because I thought it would. I would have done it. Like, you know, in season 5 in Chicago, I always thought that Anthony and Ashley would really have the same life goals, family background approach. I mean, I knew there were some differences which caused issues, but I expected them to fall in love, and they did.
When you met with Anthony and he said he had a dream and the letter A appeared.
Oh my God.
It was like the hair just rose off the back of my neck. That was such a sweet moment. And I'm happy to see they're together. And I keep in touch with Courtney. And so I'm glad that, you know, they're still together. But then I remember watching the last season when Cody and Danielle just never seemed to have a connection. Is there any point during that process that you're filming where it's so abundantly clear that a couple won't work out that even the judges say, we accept the fact that this probably is not going to work out for you guys and you're welcome to walk away? Or do they feel pressured, or is there some sort of contractual quick commitment that they have to complete the weeks?
The contractual commitment is they have to complete the weeks, but they don't have to complete them with each other. I mean, if we've had couples move away from each other, they don't have to have sex. They don't even have to live together, but they have to complete the weeks because we need to know what they're going through and how they're feeling, and that's what they signed up for. But, you know, in terms of what kind of emotional or physical input they put in, that's under their control. We encourage them to keep at it. They're married. They made a commitment as marriage, not dating. Right. And, you know, I just definitely feel, you know, slightly personally betrayed if they don't really give it their all. I mean, we try and press upon them that the whole reason for this experiment is the high regard we have for marriage. And that the whole reason they're doing it is that they may have had things that got in their way before that they haven't been able to do it themselves. So if they follow their old ways and they don't give it all of its possibilities, all they're doing is not taking advantage of what we're giving them. Mm-hmm. And what we're giving them is something very special. So, you know, look at it. If they could do it themselves, don't go with us, you know. Right. But if you don't give into the experiment, if you don't try the the exercises. If you don't question yourself when you pull away, if you don't re-up to try, well, you know, why did you do this in the first place?
Do you think that if Ashley and Anthony have a baby, they're going to name the baby Pepper?
Well, of course, I would love that, but no, I don't think so. I think I've got 4,000 relatives that are going to weigh in on what that should be. But I, you know, it's wonderful to be a force in a couple's life that helps, that you hope makes them happy. I mean, and if they can't stay married, if someone can't stay married, then you hope you've been a force in their life to make their future life happier, to make them a better partner, to make them a more conscious purpose and person. And so that's the happy part. The unhappy part is when occasionally you find that, you know, not only did they not, you know, create a lifetime marriage, but you don't feel they have any more personal insight into themselves than they did before. And
right.
And then that's kind of depressing. You know, it's kind of like, why do we do this? You know, but I have to say that the other experts and I are 100% invested in these people. And we still talk to, you know, several of the couples that, you know, we connected to, you know, more personally, you know, as individuals, just by the chance of how that goes. But you know, these are people who, you know, we're there to make their lives better. We're there to make them better. And if that doesn't happen, it's depressing.
So the next season is coming up. It's going to start in January. What city did you choose applicants from?
We went to Boston.
Oh, very good.
We loved Boston. I loved Boston. I think we all loved Boston. It's a spirited city. It has a lot of sense of place, a lot of Bostonians that, you know, have a personality to them, a lot going on. And it's, you know, historical, too. I live on the West Coast most of the, I live on the West Coast. And I love the West Coast. But, you know, in Seattle, where I'm from, our history is no later than, you know, sort of mid to late 1800s. So you go to Boston and there's all this history around you and the founding of our country. And, you know, and there's all these great sport fans and there's lots of things to love there. So we all enjoyed it.
So what can we look forward to? Three couples, the people that were matched together are what, how can you sum up this next season for us in maybe three words?
Well, as you know, I am not going to tell you what happens. That is just, that's the whole idea of this show, that you follow it and you find out. But I think it's a great season.
I know what I wanted to ask you. I felt like when you did the spinoff with David and Vanessa, I felt like their egos got a little too big. Have you had that experience where you have somebody, I mean, these people are just normal everyday people. They're not like The Bachelor, right, where they want to be Instagram celebrities. They're just people who work in like an insurance office or they're a nurse. So
right.
Are you sometimes surprised at how the fame clouds their judgment?
I haven't been in general. I really haven't. But I think Second Chances was unusual. It's a little bit different than Married at First Sight because it does put them in a situation where they get all these choices and in a way that's not true for Married at First Sight. So it's a very different kind of show.
Well, I was going to ask you, my last question was, if you could give one piece of advice to a person that's dating and one piece of advice to someone who is married.
I would say I could give the same advice to both, but I would say certainly for dating, don't have a long checklist. Open up your ideas of who you could be with and really only have a few central things to be your guide. You know, look for character, look for integrity, look for somebody whose values and goals are similar to your own. Look for somebody who will treat you the way you want to be treated and who will, have a kind heart. Look for somebody who brings out good things in you. And then let everything else vary, because those are the important things. Someone who has your back, someone who treats you well, somebody who you share values and goals with, and somebody who has character, who is capable of being a person who will do the right thing in the right time. Those are the things that last a lifetime. And, you know, if people are worried about height and eye color and, mm-hmm. you know, other things, it's just crazy. Those aren't the things that anchor your life. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's true in dating, and I actually think in marriage as well. But I would, the one I would add in marriage is don't be defensive. Don't circle your wagons when challenged. Be able to look to yourself, not just the other person. Look to yourself and say, how can I do this better? What is my contribution to this, both positively and negatively? Not to think of myself as somebody who has to defend myself all the time, but rather to ask myself, you know, am I doing the right thing? And should I take another look at what I think and see if it's right or wrong? If you can't be capable of holding yourself accountable and modifying your behavior over time, if necessary, then you're not going to do very well at marriage, because marriage absolutely requires personal accountability and change and the ability to look at oneself objectively as well as subjectively. So, you know, that's a characteristic of a human being that you need for marriage, because you're never going to be always right, and you have to let information in to think about it and maybe change course.
That's great. Well, how can everybody find you?
Well, they can certainly find me on Married at First Sight. They can find me on my webpage. I think it's drpepperschwartz.com, but it's something like that. If you go Pepper Schwartz, you'll eventually get there. I do have a romantic travel site called Places for Passion, you know, because I'm a romantic. probably all of those, and probably other ways too. But hopefully they'll watch the show and get as much out of it as I think I do, and I think the other experts do, and I think the people who do it do.
And now, when does the next season premiere?
Starts January 2nd on Lifetime TV.
And that's at 9 Central.
I think it's on at different times in different places, but I think 9 Central is safe.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you. I love the show.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for having me. I appreciate that you love it, and appreciate having the time to talk about it.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop, with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KateCasey. You can spot Stephen McGee on Summer House. You saw it last season. The next season of the show airs this month, and if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that Stephen is a dear, dear person and absolutely piss your pants funny. And I've called him because I needed somebody who would be completely objective to watch the season premiere of this season's The Bachelor, starring Ari, the race car driver, now turned real estate agent. Stephen, do you watch the show at all?
Hi. Oh my gosh. This is my first episode of The Bachelor that I've ever watched, like all the way through. I've maybe seen pieces of it, but this is the first time I've ever watched it. So this was a lot.
Number one question, is this guy attractive?
Well, he's maybe attractive for his age. I don't know. To me, there's something wrong with his, and this is why I am insecure about my chin, but there is something wrong with his chin, like where he reminds me of like Beaker the Muppet.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like it's just one big head and neck. I don't know. I personally don't think he's attractive. I think he has money.
Maybe.
But I'm confused. This was my first thing. I was confused because when did they stop doing where it was like the runner up was the next person?
Oh, no, they do that all the time. Oh, yeah. This is the first time that it's probably the second time they skipped back a couple seasons. It's because last season they had a couple people in the pipeline and none of them panned out. They either were too high maintenance or complete nutbags. So they were scrambling to find somebody. And this guy, I believe, probably called them every year and said, you've got to put me back on TV because I used to be a race car driver and now I'm selling condos in Arizona and I really need to be back on TV. And let's be honest, I'm getting old and my friend who was on The Bachelor 17 years ago is about to have a second baby and I look like a loser. So can you give me a shot? And I think that they were just scrambling and they're like, yeah, why not? Let's see how it goes.
Okay. I was thinking maybe they did it because I, you know, kind of also vaguely know this whole Bachelor in Paradise saga and what that is. And I was like, I feel like people go on The Bachelor now, they go on Bachelor in Paradise. So I was thinking maybe they wanted to backtrack a little bit to get somebody who was a little bit more older, more, but who knows?
I hope that's true because I do feel like it is impossible to get a guy who's under 30 to be serious about any relationship, let alone a marriage. So I think that they were like, let's give this a go because he's 36. So on paper, it would seem like he's ready. But we all know that once somebody's on television and they're single, women start to throw themselves at him. And he probably had like a lull in that after he was on The Bachelor the first time or Bachelorette. So I can't imagine him, you know, going through with a serious relationship once this show starts airing because women are just going to be like offering themselves. Somebody actually wrote on my page that they figured out that his office is near them. So they've been driving past his office every day. And that's not somebody who wants to make out with him. They just want to kind of see him from afar. So imagine the girls that are between, I don't know, like 20 and 26 who want to become Instagram celebrities. So they'll probably offer themselves to him, don't you think?
Right, that's true. But what, like, and we may get to this, since I didn't watch him before, this whole kissing, bandit, whatever, the kisses I saw, they did not look that good. They looked kind of creepy.
Right.
So I'm not sure if he's lost some of that, but this guy, honestly, to me, he is about as interesting as, like, that sock that you find that you can't really even bother to look for its mate.
Right.
Like, he is dull. Like, the fact that he has to keep mentioning the race car driving is proof that that's the only thing he's got.
Yeah, I think that's what my sister would say, too. That was the moment in his career. And I do feel like he's the kind of guy that would grab your face to kiss you, and it would be a horrible wet kiss, but he wouldn't let go. So you sort of would be suffocating the entire time.
One of those kisses I saw, like, the way the camera was, it was so weird because all of a sudden this, like, long, slender, old man-looking hand, like, slid up in the camera frame and grabbed the girl's face, and it was a lot for me. It really freaked me out a little bit.
So right off the bat, there's always a crazy person. There are several, but in this episode or this season,
they did not spare us wondering who it would be. They were like, here you go.
Now, I'm always perplexed when a single parent goes on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. And I speak for both men and women when I say that they're probably not great parents because they have signed up for a show that the contract says you can be gone from anywhere between 4 days and like 6 weeks.
Right. Well, and if you go all the way, don't they sequester you? I don't know.
I believe so. So that's already off the bat, like, questionable for me. She's paranoid, or no, she seemed confident that he would be okay with it because the last time he was on the show, he almost got engaged to a woman who had a child. So she's going into this super confident, but she gives me the Fatal Attraction vibes. And by that, I'm speaking about Chelsea, the single mother. Did you get that as well?
Yeah. She definitely gave me the vibes that she could kill him later. But I found it weird because she was saying that she was so confident in that. But did she mention her kid? I don't think she did.
the big mystery is that she gave birth to a child in a hospital. It's not that all exciting. So I think he's going to be let down when he finally finds out the truth. Don't you think?
Right. And yeah, I'm not sure. To me, she's not really conveying, like, she's trying too hard to convey a mystery. Like, to me, if it were me, I would be nervous this woman has an arrest record. That would be my first thought, the way she's trying to be so mysterious about it. It's not like, ooh, I've got a little secret. She's like the Black Widow in here.
Right. Okay, why are all the contestants named Lauren?
Okay, I don't know. Honestly, we have a Lauren on Summer House, and I love her. But that is a name that, it's also my sister's name. But it just doesn't really, I've never really met a Lauren that was good at relationships. So it's not really, voting well.
What do you think about Mikkel, the wedding photographer from Utah with the hair extensions who pulled up in the race car?
Okay, I thought, well, this is something new for me. I did know that they did these dramatic entrances and like little gimmicks or whatever. I definitely think that she, people are going to go all the way, so you should go all the way too, not bring out like a little wiener. But she definitely practiced, because when she pulled that dress out and pulled her hair out, it did look great. But I was surprised, I was just surprised by it all. First, I love how shady the producers are, where there's like a gate that they can peek out of to see what the noise is. But the outfits that they wear, some of them were really pretty, but then some of them were very prom. I would love to know if there's like a wardrobe room, they let them all raid, or if they have to bring their own dresses, or what they have to do. Like, if someone, like, honestly, and not to knock it, but like some of these girls, the small town girls, because this is what people in my hometown would have to do. They're going to David's Bridal and buying a bunch of dresses to bring to this thing. I don't know.
So Caitlin Bristow, who was one of the bachelorettes, she put out a tweet and said the reason they're all crying at the end of the episode is because they've gone into debt, having to buy clothes and makeup and shoes to be on the show, and only to be found, and they also quit their jobs, only to find that they're dumped on the first night. So that's the reason for all the tears at the end of the episode. And I thought, well, now that makes sense. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I found all the tears. I'll speak about the end, I guess, when we get there. I just found it to be weird.
What about the girl who gave the gratitude rock?
I mean, she definitely didn't go into debt on her gift. She just found a rock. like she probably picked that up when they were going in the limo, and she forgot that she to bring you something.
Right.
She's like, oh, let me get, I'm going to call this a gratitude rock. I did like, who was the health coach that did the freaky, like, close your eyes and put your hands on your heart?
I think her name's
Crystal.
At first, I
thought it was going to go terribly wrong, but Crystal. Yeah, Crystal. And she's really pretty. Although I have to say, the worst part about this episode is hearing 29 girls try to do a flirty voice. That was grating. Like, oh my God, you're just so pretty. And yeah, oh my, oh, I mean, it feels so great. I cannot listen to that. For how many weeks does this show go on?
Too many.
Hopefully they calm down a little bit into it, and they don't try so hard. But that was a lot.
I don't like how when they're all sitting on the couch, when they're waiting for the other women to get out of the limo, that they're all so insecure. Like, well, there's a lot of competition here tonight. Competition in what term? Somebody has a better dress than you? Because I can tell you about 75% of these people have garbage personalities.
Competition and, yeah, the way they refer to it is competition. And everyone's like, oh my God, there's so many pretty girls coming in. Well, what did you think? Where did you think they went for casting? Like, they didn't. There's so many pretty girls. And then, yeah, what's his name, Ari?
Yes.
He kept just telling everyone they're beautiful. Like, at least get a couple buzzwords that you can throw around in your entrance. Oh, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Nice dress. Like, I don't know. He's dull.
I noticed at the end he keeps promising them weeks of adventure. Do you think he's really all that exciting?
I think that, no. I think that he probably had some good planners to plan this stuff for him, and he knew that it would be fun. But I do not think, like, I think he'd be going on date night to, like, Red Lobster or something. Like, you know, he hits up the Olive Garden and he knows them by name. Like, he is not somebody who is going to be taking you all over the world.
No.
I mean, you don't follow up race car driving with real estate. Like, that's not somebody who's adventurous.
Right.
You're like, let me go get on my next career as a real estate agent. At first, when they showed that package and they showed that gorgeous house, I thought that was, he's like, I wanted to settle down. And then they showed this gorgeous house. And I was like, oh, that's his house? That's so nice. And no, he just was selling it to someone. Like, that was amazing to me.
What about the fact that as they clinked glasses, champagne glasses at the end of the episode, the fact that it was totally bright outside is because they filmed this at like 11 o'clock at night and make them stay up. So these women have probably had nothing but a couple nibbles of cheese and alcohol. Do you think that they are capable of making decisions when they've been underfed and drunk?
Definitely not. I mean, you know, I've never watched The Bachelor, but I did watch Unreal. So I'm sure they're not capable of making any decisions. And that was the most confusing part to me, was when the women were making their exits. I was like, it's completely daytime now. Like, did they make these poor girls put their gowns back on to leave? Or are they just sitting around waiting to leave?
It's awful. Okay.
I mean, honestly, it just cannot be enjoyable to be a part of this process.
Do you think that at the end of this, he's going to get engaged?
I think he will probably propose, and then the wedding will get called off before it ever happens.
Are you going to watch any more of episodes of the show, or are you just going to sort of catch like the season finale and catch up then?
I probably will watch it. I mean, I'm definitely not going to watch it religiously, but, you know, I like to, at this point, as it's airing, as Summer House is airing, it would be nice to watch things that are not on Bravo.
Right.
So I'll probably watch it. Also, just even after this first one, I want to see what the evil one does, because she definitely has been set up that she's going to do some terrible stuff this season.
Well, I hope to God it's something better than they've done in all the other seasons, because I feel like after 17 episodes or seasons of the show, I kind of know the formula of what's going to go. So I hope that they switch it up. Now, if people want to follow you, tell them where they can follow you and when they can see episodes of Summer House.
You can follow me on Instagram at Stephen McGee. That's pretty much all I use, so that's really all that matters. But Summer House Season 2 premieres January 22nd. At 10 p.m. right after Vanderpump Rules.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Clint Graham is an executive at Twitter. He's on the media entertainment team. He's hilarious. The father of two gorgeous boys and a cute guy himself. And a fun fact about him is that he turns out that he loves Vanderpump Rules and is especially fascinated by Kristen Doty, which I find fascinating. So this week's episode was jam-packed with nuggets, and I'm eager to talk to you about this week's episode. So first of all, how are you doing?
I am feeling great, you know, can't complain. I'm actually in New Orleans celebrating my birthday this week with Jackie. It's my This Is 40 celebration. So
happiest birthday. Have you been watching the show since season one, or are you later in the game?
So I'm later in the game, but later in the game where I was able to get enough of Kristen, where I want more. And so this season, there isn't enough. And so I just want to give a shout out to Lisa saying, can we get a little bit more Dowdy in the mix?
I do feel like she has systematically been eliminating her from the show.
That is true. And I want her back.
You want her back. Okay, so the episode opens. The witches of West Hollywood have their coven, and that they are eating a bunch of Taco Bell that Postmates brought, and Jax walks in through the door. He's horrified these women are in his house. I was surprised to learn that he's pretty OCD. He seems pretty jazzed up about whether or not his place is a mess, because I remember from previous seasons, he just had like a bike on a wall, a bunch of stolen silverware, and probably urine all over the ground. So surprised to see that he was so anal about how clean his apartment was.
You know what, though? I don't think that was it. Like, I think because, you know, he felt ambushed, and I think that was his only way to lash out, that there's just a bunch of these women just sitting there bashing him, his, like, worst nightmare coming to life. I think he even said that. I think the only thing he could lash out on was, you guys are messing up my place with a bunch of, like, 99-cent tacos, which, by the way, is a great call after a night of drinking.
You can't blame them. I feel at this point, there's no way Brittany will ever leave him. He could murder somebody down in the downstairs, you know, part of the building, and she'll stay with him. Do you think she will ever leave him?
I agree with you, but I secretly hope that they kind of just go their separate ways. Like, I'm not, and I tell Jackie this all the time, that nothing against Brittany, but I'm not a fan of, like, her role on the show. I think everyone else adds a little bit to the show, and I just think her and Jax are just not a good fit, you know? Yeah. I just don't think they're a good fit for each other.
I don't like how everybody always says such nice things about her. No one has anything bad to say about her, because that's not what I'm looking for when I watch a reality television show. You have to have some disgusting aspect of your personality. Otherwise, I would watch, you know, something else. So she needs to bring her game up, but I don't think she can do that. And she can tease them all that she wants about going back to Kentucky, but we all know that's never going to happen. She's had a taste of the TV show. She will never leave. Yes.
So it was interesting. I was at lunch with a couple of my Live Nation guys at Villa Blanca in Beverly Hills, and her and Jax actually sat behind us to have lunch. And the vibe between them was just blah, man. I mean, I know, like, your everyday life isn't Vanderpump Rules, but come on. You got to have a little something there.
And they don't even have kids yet. Imagine what it's going to be like after they have children.
right, exactly. But no, what we can do to solve all of this is bring Kristen back.
You think so?
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter yesterday, she sent a tweet out. Does anybody know a reputable wedding photographer in Detroit?
Ooh. Well, you do know, I listened to Stassi's boyfriend, Patrick Mawa, on Sirius.
Tell me more.
Even before I knew he was the boyfriend, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, this season was the first time, like, his face was even shown at all.
Yeah.
And they had broken up for a while. And I was the one who actually informed Jackie that this guy named Stassi's boyfriend's name is Patrick, and he's a kind of a sports talk guy, which I love. Like, he's awesome. He's from Michigan. So he talks about Michigan all the time. So I wonder if that inquiry is for Stassi.
No.
What do you think?
I don't think he ever will get back with her. That's my intel within the circles of Sir Villa Blanca, is that he has made it clear he never wants to be with her again. Kristen is from Detroit. If Stassi's going to get married, she's not going to get married in Detroit. I think that it would be in New Orleans. You know what you should do while on your trip? screw your birthday party. I know it's your birthday and it's a big one. But what you need to do is you need to find Stassi's parents' homes, show up with Jackie, and then infiltrate the family. Get rid of the little brother because he's annoying. But ask the parents, like, what is going down? And maybe you can get to the bottom of it.
Ooh, that is not a bad idea. I think I might have to take on this mission.
Yeah.
If it's not too out of the way.
I'm not really happy with her boyfriend, Carter. I feel like he brings no value to the table either.
Yeah. I have no time for him.
Yeah.
The other emerging fan of, I'm a fan of, and I keep forgetting his name. He did the absinthe shot with Jax.
James Kennedy. DJ James Kennedy.
Yes. Crazy James. I'm a big fan of Crazy James now.
Really?
I don't know why I'm just pulled to the characters that are the most chaotic in these shows.
Right. I feel like he's gained a little bit of weight. Last season, I felt like he could definitely wear Gap Toddler, but this season, I think he's moved up to, you know, like a solid tween brand.
True. Never thought of it that way, but I can absolutely see that.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Lisa and Ken allowing Schwartz and Sandoval to become quasi-business partners in this new restaurant venture?
Cannot wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
First off, I'd be in line to go eat there because I love the Tom Toms. Schwartz is probably one of my favorites just because his mental capacity is hilarious. And, you know, I take in everything he puts out. But you know what? The restaurant business is tough, but if you're going to partner up with someone, I think Lisa and Guillermo are a pretty good group of folks to get in this.
Yeah.
I mean, they have three successful restaurants, you know, in the Beverly Hills or Hollywood area. So why not? But I think they'll be all right if they can keep it together. Anyway, did you see those two talk outside before they went into the meeting with Lisa and Ken?
Hilarious.
It was fantastic. I mean, I could have watched more of that for another 10 minutes.
I almost felt like they cut maybe a good 5 minutes where they probably practiced a dance routine.
Yeah. Yes. I wanted it so bad.
Okay.
They almost derailed that meeting themselves sitting there.
They can't help themselves. They're the kind of people that just can't get out of their own way.
Cannot.
Now, when Lala used her fingers in the form of a gun and screamed at Sheena, informing her that Katie had messed with the wrong person and that her own husband had made out with her friend in a New York City bar, did you take her word for it or were you skeptical?
I was a little skeptical. I think Lala herself is controversial, right? And, you know, the whole finger and the whole get pop talk was, I just think, was a little too much. Even though I think because Tom has, like, been guilty in the past of a similar situation, it was just an easy thing to kind of throw to back at Katie just to kind of get her riled up or get even the whole crew riled up, right?
Right.
Personally, I was like, man, there's got to be footage of something. And then Jackie reminded me that they don't tape him all the time, every time. So I was like, ugh.
I know.
But I feel like more people would have known that. You know, that would have came out earlier, right? Not just the word of your friend.
Yeah.
We don't know what her motives were. But clearly what Lala's was to kind of throw a wrench and to kind of like, you know, hit back at that whole crew for their comments about her husband or boyfriend or whoever this guy is to her.
Now, do you have
sugar daddy?
Do you have dude friends that have said this in the past? Like, you know what? I was so wasted. I don't remember making out with that person.
Yeah. You kind of don't want to say that.
I mean, is it possible? Like, is it this just like an alcohol problem? Because it did seem like the girl that he made out with, he kept referring to her by the nickname that he calls Katie.
Right. But I don't know if you saw the tweet that Kristen put out where she was like, he even calls her Bubba.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And calling whoever calling that girl
and she then called that girl thirsty. So, you know, Tom may be using Bubba loosely.
Right. But, so that's just know. Like, that's just like a babe. It's like one of those terms that you use just to cover your bases. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
but
this is an interesting point because I've interviewed him twice. The second time, I find him to be incredibly charming, extremely attractive.
Yep.
He said so many nice things about his wife, about how in love with he was. And now, I wonder now, was that because he was overdoing it because he knew what footage would come out in the season?
Nah, because I think he genuinely cares for her. I mean, I think it's got to be hard, right? Because everything you do, you have to be mindful because someone can interpret or use it in so many different ways, especially amongst that group. Because it's just amazing to me how all of Jack's Tom, if he did what he did in New York, is slipping up with like friends of their friends, which I find extremely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
We all know what Lala is capable of. Like, and I think Schwartz Sandoval said the same thing. Like, dude, get your act together, right? Like, but I think he's genuine. I think he's genuine when he speaks about her.
I do too. But I think he might have a bit of a drinking problem that he needs to chiggity check. All right, here's my question for you. You are in LA too. And you work within entertainment circles. Lala has said, if you are a woman who has boobs, you can fly private. What is your assessment of that comment? She's like probably 27 years old. Do you think if you're 27 and she said if you're not ugly and you have boobs, you can fly private?
My response to that is that you have a side gig going.
Right.
It's not, no one just gets to fly a private plane if you're cute and have boobs and it's out of the goodness of their heart. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's funny, I read something the other day too, that this whole Instagram models, you know, where you see a lot of folks like on private boats and planes and it, you know, it's these expensive clothes and jewelry, and you know, people are like, you don't make that much income from being an Instagram model because you know the average rate is $1 per 1,000 followers, and so the math doesn't add up. So,
question mark.
And I think, you know, I don't want to put anything on Lala, but I think that was the rumor, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, yeah, the first season she was on, they all basically were like, you're a paid escort. But I don't like how she is so nasty. She puts other girls down like, well, sorry, you have tits. You can fly private, too. It's like, you know what? Not everybody wants to do that. Some people want to keep their legs closed and just fly continental. So, like, leave me alone. Yeah.
Coach is perfectly fine.
Coach is totally fine. Get a little peanuts, a little drink. You land easily. Yeah. You don't have to show anybody your breasts. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
My last,
even though it's pretzels now.
Oh, pretzels. There you go. Here's my last question. Do you think Stassi is a legitimate party planner or this is a joke?
Ah, man, it's a joke, but I want to see where it goes. I want her to do more just so I can just watch. I mean, what she did for Guillermo was really nothing. And I think Lisa knew it was kind of a low-risk task, right?
Yeah.
All I saw was flowers, a cake, and a reception table. That's not party planning to me.
I saw a reception table with three large printouts. The printouts were for people who have cataracts. I mean, I don't know where she printed those off. And she is like scrapbooking. Listen, people over the age of 12 don't want a scrapbook.
Correct.
Yeah.
That was her idea of making it personal. It was cute, but not, you know.
But
there
could
have been more creative ways, right?
Next week, they gave a teaser. Sheena wants to get married again, and apparently her boyfriend's cheating on her. So Between her extremely large canvases in her house and Lala's muumuu dresses with her own face, do you also feel like the confidence of these women is astounding?
It's over the moon. I mean, the life-size portrait in Sheena's house had me laughing so hard. I am like, wow. I looked at Jackie and I was like, I need to put up pictures of myself throughout this place in case you guys forget who I am in this household. Right. Just as a reminder.
Right. Now that people have heard you and they want to follow you, where can they follow you?
Yeah, no, you folks can follow me on Twitter, at Clint Graham. And I'm also on Instagram as Mr. _ Why Not.
Very good. Well, listen, live it up, my friend. Happy birthday to you and my love to Jackie.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is awesome. Love your show.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
The Amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guest this week, Dr. Pepper Schwartz, Stephen McGee, and my buddy Clint Graham. Remember, go to Facebook, put in the search bar, Reality Life with Kate Casey. That's my Facebook page for this podcast. You will find awesome people. We are deep diving all week long. I had a juicy story this week from my LA publicist friend about Dorit. So you're not going to find that out if you don't go into the Facebook group. You can also find me on Facebook under Love and Knuckles. You can find all my recaps for the week or go to my website, loveandknuckles.com. My Twitter handle is at Kate Casey. You can tweet me during shows, tell me who you want to see on the show, etc., etc. And my Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. I'm about to go out and imitate a Kim Kardashian picture, so I'm starting out the new year the right way. As always, keep watching these great shows. Send me show suggestions. There's so many great shows coming up, and spoiler, you're not going to believe who I have next week. You guys might lose your minds. So have a great week.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.